Welcome to OOD Works, the podcast, a show about unique individuals and the services provided by Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities, the state agency that helps individuals with disabilities find a job and be more independent. Here's your host, Kim Jump.
On this episode of OOD Works, the podcast, we are joined by Brock Ewing. He is a 20-year-old with a bright future ahead. And he got involved with Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities while a participant of the Ohio State School for the Blind's EDGE program. And we're also joined by Joni Schell, his vocational rehabilitation counselor, who's dedicated to the Ohio State School for the Blind. So welcome to the show, Brock and Joni.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. Hi, Brock.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining. So, Brock, let our listeners know, where in Ohio are you from?
I'm about 40 minutes north of the Columbus area.
Right in central Ohio. So I understand you got to know Joni through the Ohio State School for the Blind, but you actually did your K through 12 school experience in a traditional public school?
Yep. I went through Marka for preschool, Harrison for K through fifth grade, Grant Middle School from sixth to eighth grade, Harding High School from ninth to 10th, and then that was when I made my decision to go to Tri Rivers Career Center for a computer networking electronics technologies class from 11th to 12th.
Oh, good for you. I didn't realize you went the career technical route.
Basically, we did computer networking. So mm-hmm. It's like you learn about computers, how to build a computer, what hardware components make a computer, how to protect yourself online, all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful. Have you always been interested in computers?
I got interested in computers. I got my first computer in 2015. And ever since then, I've always wanted to learn what's inside this thing. How does this work?
Yeah, the inner workings.
Yes, I've always been that way. Ever since I was 3 years old, I took apart my mom's VCR and fixed it.
Oh, and fixed it at three.
Well, my definition of 3 years old of fixing it, mom's definition was utterly destroyed it. Yes, I used to take everything apart. I always wanted to know how it worked. And a lot of times I didn't care if it worked afterwards.
So I think one thing that might surprise our listeners to know is that you are actually blind.
I am. I was born totally blind. I have glaucoma and... Oh man, I should have looked up what that's called. It's ROP.
It's a retinopathy of prematurity.
And what
I can never pronounce that.
And you know, just in kind of common language, do you know how that impacts you?
The way I like to explain it to other visually impaired individuals is so the retina that attaches to the back of your eye, which is connected to your nerve, which goes to your brain. That's how your brain interpolates things and you can see things. Mm-hmm. My retina over time detached itself. But before all that happened, when I was born at 25 weeks. I weighed, I think it was just over a pound. I can't Wow. exactly remember. And my optical nerves that connect your eyes to your brain did not develop all the way. Mm-hmm. So when I was first born, I could see a very limited select range of colors. I could see outlines of things, shadows, but I could never tell you what they were. It's so far long ago, I don't remember what that was like. I remember yeah. what a few colors look like, kind of, but I don't really miss it because I yeah. don't remember.
Right, because it was just a small part of your life so long ago. So what was it like for you being in school with, you know, fellow students who can see?
I loved every second of it. It's definitely a different experience because in 2014 to 2019, I did all kinds of summer camps and stuff at the Ohio State School for the Blind in Columbus. Yeah. And from my experience, it's fun to hang out with other individuals like myself. I like it so much better to hang out with sighted individuals and knowing that I can get along with them and they understand and we can actually conversate about life's difficulties, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally.
It felt good to you to just be part of a regular school experience and just kind of blend in, it sounds like, you know, interact with your peers in very much a normal way.
Yeah. Yeah, I love explaining to people what it's like to be blind.
Yeah, because probably a lot of your fellow students, you were probably the very first person they ever met with a visual disability or maybe even a disability for that matter.
In preschool, I was one. There was only two visually impaired people, me and another kid. I don't really remember him very well, but I think we both had canes and had visual problems, but I haven't seen him in so long. Get it? Seen him?
Well, you knew you weren't alone to have, yeah, have a buddy like that in preschool, right?
Yeah, and that's just, I love explaining to people because a lot of people, when they think of a visually impaired person, they're like, oh, well, he must be socially depressed, or he doesn't understand life, or he hangs out in a confinement. They think we're sheltered, mm-hmm, as if to say we don't socialize with the normal world and stuff like that. So they just assume that we don't understand concepts very well. And my goal is, I want to try to prove to the world that just because my eyes don't work doesn't mean I can't do things that you can do or achieve the things you can do, yeah, just from my different learning experiences.
Right. Well, it sounds like you've already been able to do that all these past years, you know, in your, you know, primary school years, being able to interact and kind of dispel some of those stereotypes. You've kind of already been on that mission.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm happy that I've gotten this far. I love to show people that I can do, hey, I can do this, or I can do that. And this is how I learned this. And this is how I can teach you how to learn it. Like, I want to be able to teach someone or have someone ask me, hey, I do this on a daily basis. How do you do it? And then for me to explain to them how I cope with it and have them try to pretend to be blind for a day is just awesome to me.
Oh, I bet. Probably makes you feel very proud of all of the ways you've learned to navigate for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still amaze people. I'll go walking across streets. I was on a mobility lesson, walking around, just learning my surroundings. And there was this woman who wanted to pray for me because she thought it would fix my eyes. And it was very hard for me to explain that that's not how that works. And I felt so bad because I feel like I broke her heart telling her that, no, I can't see. Like, she was so set on fixing it. And I felt bad, but I think she understands.
Yeah. Or eventually did, if it took a while.
Yeah.
So can I ask, during your time in school, is there a highlight that stands out of maybe a time that you were most proud?
I've had many of them. I would say the best moment was probably when it wasn't mostly part of school. It was just a community thing where we went to a church. They had like a little seminar thing, and there was a bunch of people that had disabilities and other kind of problems. other than mine there and talks about my life story, and all my parents talked about it. We just all shared stories, and I loved it because I met a bunch of people that have other problems other than blindness, and I was fascinated and they were fascinated, and I was loving it.
That's great. It sounds like you found like some camaraderie from that. Just that sharing, yes. Just people being real with each other about their challenges.
Yes, definitely. I think the best way is to ask questions. No question is a dumb question. That's what I would say.
So you feel comfortable when people ask you about being blind? That's not off-putting to you?
Nope. No, I am not possible to offend. Like, you can ask me whatever you want. You can be as rude as sounding as you want. But I will never take it that way, because I understand what you're trying to ask. I'm just, you ask me and I'll answer it. I don't care.
Yeah. Like, you appreciate the effort that they're making to try to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's really hard to walk up to someone who you're like, oh, they look weird, or, you know, they're just not normal. And you just walk up not knowing anything about their life and you just ask them, like, I don't think I have the courage to do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound easy. It
can certainly be intimidating. Who have been some of your biggest supporters?
I'd say my mom and dad have been very wonderful to me. My Braillist, who was my aide, Miss Lynn Audette, she is a wonderful person. And she has a great personality. And she was with me every step of the way and helped me get all my schoolwork that I needed to. Stuff like that, get me all my stuff in Braille if I needed it, made all of my graphs for math, not fun. I did not like math very much, but she helped me through it. And whenever I had a bad day, she'd help me through that. And we just, so many years, we just got along together, and I'm sad I'm not in school anymore, but I still talk to her.
Anyone else that you'd want to kind of give a shout out to?
My gym teacher in fifth grade, she was Roxanne Sullivan. She was a very, very nice lady. No matter what we were doing in gym class, she would find a way for me to do it. There was nothing that I couldn't do in there. Anything that, any exercise or whatever we were doing.
Like
game,
all the sports.
Yep.
Wow.
She would find a way to customize it, or I would just try it and I'd amaze her.
Brock, tell me, how was it then that you came to do the summer camps at the Ohio State School for the Blind when you were younger?
I don't remember how I found out about it. I think my mom found out about it. And then I was just like, yeah, it's an awesome, it sounds fun. And I'm glad I did it, because it got me to interact with a bunch of other visually impaired individuals, and we could collaborate. And I had like a sighted group of friends and then a visually impaired group of friends. And they're two totally different groups to be in.
Yeah.
Very different.
Kind of like you got the best of both worlds by doing that.
Yeah.
What kinds of things would you work on at the summer camps?
We had an ECC camp. It stands for Extended Core Curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
We had a STEM camp.
So they were focused at more academically than life skills, or did they incorporate some of the life skills into it as well?
Yep. Yeah, they did. And then there was another camp that I did there where you had a job that you would work, and we actually got paid for it.
Great.
I worked at OCSEA.
The union office? Ohio Civil Service?
I just know it was OCSEA. I know there's two different companies called that.
Not too far from the school? Like a little bit north of it?
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And what kinds of tasks would you do there when you worked?
I helped fill envelopes. They had like stuff they would print out and things that they'd have to put together, and I put it together in an envelope. I made, so there was, how every door has a sign, a print sign on it with their name and room number. I made them Braille signs. I got a Perkins Brailler from the school and got Braille paper and made them door signs in Braille and put it on all of their signs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That had to feel good knowing that you were working, but you were also making their building more accessible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very happy that I did that.
Very cool. So then you decided, once you graduated from Tri-Rivers then, to participate in Ohio State School for the Blind's EDGE program, which I've looked that up. It stands for Education, Development, Growth, and Employment.
Yes, that is the most recent program that I did.
Mm-hmm. And that was about a one-year program? Or
it
got...
Yes, it was... Yep, it was a school year.
And so what... A school year program.
Sorry.
Gotcha. No, that's okay. So what made you decide to do the EDGE program once you were done at the Career Technical Center?
The people who run that program, they got in contact with my mom, mm-hmm. and she got in contact with me. And I was like, you know, sure. Like, I'll defer my diploma and get a little bit more of independent living experience and stuff like that under my belt. And
yeah,
I loved it. I'm very glad I made that decision.
Yeah, that's great. And I should clarify, because you use the term defer your graduation. Could you just kind of explain what that means?
So deferring your diploma is basically when you graduate high school, you have a diploma, but they don't give it to you until you finish whatever you were doing that made you defer the diploma in the first place. So like with me, I graduated Tri-Rivers. My diploma was from Harding.
Mm-hmm. Your home school.
Harding was my home school, and I graduated Tri-Rivers. And then instead of just getting my diploma from my home school right away, I deferred it. So Harding kept it. And then I did that program down at the Ohio State School for the Blind. Mm-hmm. And then once I, well, in this case, technically graduated it, we did.
And you're laughing because of coronavirus impacted the
yes.
your duration yes. of the EDGE program, right?
Yep, it cut it off. We were supposed to go back 3 weeks later, but the 3 weeks later never happened.
Right. When did you first meet Joni Schell, your vocational rehab counselor with OOD?
At the school, actually, when I started that program.
Mm-hmm. Joni, would you like to kind of share with our listeners, could you share about your role there at the school? Mm-hmm. And I know it's a little different right now because, of course, we're recording this in November 2020, and there's still a pandemic. So
worst year of my life.
It's impacted everyone. But could you share about your role there at OSSB?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm actually a regular VRC with the BSVI Department of OOD, and I've been doing that for a number of years. Last year in the spring, I believe Governor DeWine put forth this initiative where they wanted a more, I guess, personal collaboration with the School for the Blind and the School for the Deaf. Mm-hmm. So they put out postings to have a dedicated counselor that would be headquartered at the School for the Blind and one at the School for the Deaf. Mm-hmm. So I got the assignment at the School for the Blind. So my work location changed from being in Whitehall with I had a split caseload that was like half transition, half adult, mm-hmm. and had already been serving a lot of the kids at the School for the Blind for a number of years. And, but then when I moved into that position, I was headquartered there at the school, and my caseload, I inherited cases from all over the state, and they were put onto my caseload, and I'm now the dedicated counselor for the School for the Blind. So in the past, what we did was, depending on where a student lived, wherever their home county was, the counselor that served that county would serve that student. So The School for the Blind had a lot of different counselors that were a part of that.
Right.
And doing this was, I think it was great. It gave the school, you know, one point person. And so now I have the students, whether they're in Franklin County or they could be anywhere in the state.
Yeah, Marion, like Brock is. So Joni, how did you meet Brock?
Well, I inherited Brock. Brock came with my position. So when I started at the School for the Blind, those students from around the state that weren't already on my caseload were transferred to me. And Brock came to me from Marion County. Yeah. So his case had been in place, I think, since about 2016. Does that sound right, Brock?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, maybe when you were maybe around a sophomore. And so then when I got his case, he was already had been referred to the EDGE program.
Uh-huh.
And that program, that's a collaboration actually between OOD and OSSB. We partially fund that program, the job training component of that. So Brock was already had already enrolled in that, deferred his diploma, made that decision with his previous counselor, and he was full speed ahead in that program.
Yeah, gotcha. Maybe a listener is wondering, like, why would a student get involved with OOD services at a younger age? Could you kind of explain why that is?
Sure. We take referrals as young as 14. Everything's case by case and readiness driven, basically. So we always consult with like our transition coordinators and other school staff about when it's appropriate to have a student referred to OOD. Many of our students come in as early as a freshman. Some start when they're sophomores. It just kind of depends on when it makes sense to go ahead and introduce those services. So the nice thing about having them so early is that the counselors can be a part of like IEP meetings, any assessments that are done as far as school goes, any special accommodations or any things that they're a part of as part of their regular curriculum. And they see the growth. We're at meetings, so we hear the conversations between the families and recommendations that teachers are making. We know about their progress and also those conversations that talk about where they're going to be headed as far as like a career goal, what their occupational interests are and that kind of thing. So it's more of a collaboration when they're younger and just kind of as the student makes progress and at the appropriate time, we can insert different services into, you know, they're either sometimes it's in their school schedule. Sometimes it's something they do above and beyond off school hours. But we can do things to enhance their vocational development with what they're already getting in school.
Yeah, gotcha. So if you were to kind of describe how, you know, the services then that you offer are different from the services that OSSB offers, kind of how would you explain that?
OSSB, obviously, they're a school,
right.
So they're responsible for the academic development of the students that attend there, just like any school. Since they have a specialized population, they also, Brock had mentioned, expanded core curriculum. They call it ECC services, and those are things that are available to those students because they have a certain disability, and those things are implemented and part of their curriculum from the time they are in kindergarten all the way through. So those are things that a typical student may not need. So like the mobility training, they learn about rehab tech and adaptive technology. And, you know, just advocating for themselves to be able to ask for accommodations. The students that are residential and actually live in the dorms, those are students that are outside the area. So they come and they stay in the dorms. They get a lot of extra daily living skill training because they will, like after hours, they might do work on budgeting or meal preparation or cleaning, matching clothes, that kind of stuff. And, you know, they can look at adaptive devices or different ways to be able to do those tasks in spite of having a vision impairment.
Great. You had mentioned like helping with employment goals. So I'm curious, Brock, what is your primary employment goal that you've been working on with Joni?
My job that I would like to get is something that has to do with computers or IT. I like helping people fix problems. So I like to help people fix their computer problems, or like over the phone or something. What I really, really want to do is to like go to people's houses and have them face to face explain the problem. Like, I get it's easier over the phone, but just for me to have that physical interaction experience, I'd like the phone, but I'd get bored.
Well, I think, hey, Brock, we're all right there with you during this time of COVID. We miss being there with people too. I know what you mean.
It's like walking outside has a whole new meaning now. It's so different.
Right. Can I ask, has COVID impacted you in any special ways?
Thank God, no. I have not been sick at all. I feel sad and I pray for the people that have been impacted and how it messes up family living and jobs and all that stuff. But I thankfully have been completely fine. I've just mostly been out of my mind for the past few months.
It's harder to stay busy.
Yeah, it is.
Joni, what kinds of support have been offered to Brock through his involvement with OOD?
Brock, early on in those first couple of years when he first started working with OOD, the focus was really on any kind of job readiness, any of those opportunities to gain work experience, to do career exploration and explore and kind of define his interests and figure out exactly what path he wants to take and what's that going to look, what kind of a job is that, you know, is going to be in his future. We look a lot at not only his student's interests, but also we have those hard conversations about, you know, what impact the disability is going to have on being able to actually achieve that goal. So he spent some time in those kinds of conversations and that kind of guidance and counseling mode with us. And of course, he did the STEP program and the summer programs that he talked about. But the STEP program was great because that gave him a whole year to really focus in on refining his interests. And then also, one thing that that program does that's really great is it really teaches kids how to be adults. They're really kind of hard on them in the sense of, you know, teaching them to make their own phone calls, make their own appointments, or order their own transportation, and just be able to navigate that kind of, you know, environment so that by the time they go through that, I really have noticed that these kids are much more prepared than the kids that don't go through that. So then when we're moving on to the step where Brock is, and that's where he does know what he wants to do, and we're doing services that are, well, right now he's doing some computer skills training. We're going to be working into some customer service skills training. So he'll get some training on phone skills. Right now he's really trying to perfect his skills with the technology that he's going to be able to need to use for this kind of a job. We purchased some technology for him that he is training on. He's got a Braille display that is new that he's working on. But once he gets really in a good position where he has mastered a lot of those kind of baseline skills for this kind of work, then we can look at, you know, trying to find him the right placement. The thing, though, Brock, that is going to really, really help you with being in that EDGE program is it's that level of maturity and confidence that I think the students that have come through there that have developed that are, it's above and beyond what a lot of times what other students your age are. So, I mean, you're ready to take on the world. It's going to help you with interviews. You know, I'm amazed how fluent he is and how comfortable he is talking to adults. Yeah. And, you know, that's going to help you with interviewing skills and just being able to give your backstory when you need to. There's been a lot of conversations about advocacy and also when's the proper time or how do you disclose a disability and all that kind of stuff. So Brock has taken that kind of a path. So we're just hoping that he continues to make progress. He's been doing great with his training. And, you know, once he gets his technology mastered, we'll move on to the next thing. And at some point here soon, we hope to be in a job search.
That's great. Brock, what would you say about the experience thus far? Do you agree with Joni? Do you feel like you've grown in your independence?
Definitely. I feel like I'm not completely ready, but I feel like if I never did the program or anything like that, I still would have been like a little shy of talking to people. Since I've had all this experience, it has made me open up a lot more.
Brock, I'd like to hear from you on the skills training. What's that been like?
I love it. I'm getting training on Microsoft Office and Microsoft Outlook and Excel and my Braille display and how to use all that stuff together and how to Google search and get the information you want quickly and efficiently.
If a student's thinking about getting involved with OOD, what would your advice be?
I go for it. I love it. I'm glad that I chose them. Everyone's so nice and you can just talk about your life situations and they help you get through them and to better yourself for the future.
A transcript of today's episode is available at ood.ohio.gov/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We're on social media at Ohio OOD. Do you have a disability? Do you want a job? We can help. OODworks.com.